Welcome back after the short break. We were talking about virtual networking and we're still talking about virtual networking.
Yep.
Cheryl will continue on the same topic. So
and on it goes, virtual networking. So got my PowerPoints ready, and the lessons that we'll have with this are virtual network settings and cross-premises. And I'd like to point out that they're two very separate things, because you can create the virtual network without having to do a cross-premises ever. You can go ahead and do them in separate ways. So creating the virtual network, there are four different ways you can do this. You can use the management portal, which is the way I prefer to do it, because I like the UI and click through and all that. The network configuration file is pretty nice if you want to back up some settings and then put them back out really quickly, or you think that maybe you want to create lots and lots of different virtual networks that are very similar to each other. You can take a network configuration file. What I do is I typically export a network configuration file and use it as my template, and then kind of doctor it up and import it back in. So that's actually an option. I'll show you how to do that. You can use PowerShell. I'm not going to, but you are free to. Oh, something I should mention too about PowerShell and virtual network, not specifically, but with Azure. So at one point we decided that anything that was in the management portal was going to be available to you with PowerShell. And it was going to be PowerShell, management portal. They were going to be always in sync forever. It's going to be perfect. Then they got really fast on the PowerShell side and the dev side, and the portal wasn't quite as fast. And so some of the settings that you'll see coming up in the next few weeks, or you have seen in the last few weeks, will not be in the portal quite yet. They're going to get there. The decision was kind of made not to hold back settings because we couldn't get them in the portal quickly enough, and to let you have the functionality of these PowerShell and API settings.
But they will be in PowerShell then?
Yeah, they will be in PowerShell, and there'll be some things that you can only do in PowerShell. I won't be talking about those things. I'm using specifically the portal and the network configuration mm-hmm. file today. But if you do kind of check out some of the Azure documentation and see some of the new features coming out, don't let it freak you out. They're like, oh, it's in PowerShell, I don't see it in the management portal. It will eventually get there. We just didn't want to hold back any of the new features while we waited to get everything in the portal. So,
got it.
You know. I think it was a good decision, too, because some of the things that are going to come out, like access control lists, for example, you can only use using PowerShell. You can't really do these inside the portal yet. So, yeah, but I think they're valid to have, right? So that's a point.
Yes, yes.
So creating the virtual network in the management portal, you have two choices. And I put custom create at the top because that's the one I like. Quick create again is like, oh my gosh, I have to create an emergency VNet, and that never happens. I don't think it ever happens. You have a lot more reduced functionality when you do quick create. You can't put in a DNS server. Your affinity group, I put one in there called created by me because I created it ahead of time. You can mm-hmm. only select the affinity groups that you've already created. Your address space, you can select address space in the CIDR, but you can't like go through and start doing subnets. And when you're doing networking, some of these things that might be appealing to you to create right off the bat.
So then you would do the custom create always.
Exactly. That's what I do. I mean, it doesn't take that much longer, and we can go ahead and create that through the wizard. So let's go to a demo. Give you an idea of what we're doing here. And we're here. Okay. So let's create a new virtual network. So network services, virtual network. No quick create, custom create. And so I'll go ahead and create myself a virtual network. Actually, you know what I want to do first? I can go ahead and create an affinity group maybe. I don't know. What do I want? I'll create a virtual network first. My virtual network will be called your virtual network, because it's exciting. There, I'm just very creative right
and
now.
And you will, after this, you will use it in a cloud service, right? The order is first this. And
first this, and then what I would do is put things in this afterward. And yeah, because you can't really create the cloud service and then say, oh, I'd like to stick that in a virtual network.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. This is the first stop, and I if you don't know the whole picture of what you want to create and you don't know everything that you're doing with a virtual network, I still suggest you create a virtual network, maybe a sizable one, mm-hmm. and go ahead and start using that, because it's much easier to just kind of configure this or reconfigure it and make the changes you need than it is to maybe tear down services that you would like to keep in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to create this in East US. And I want to create a new affinity group. And as Ronald spoke before, an affinity group is kind of close to each other, right?
Items that should be close to each other for performance reasons.
Yeah. Now notice it doesn't let me not have an affinity group. I have to have an affinity group because the things that are going to be within the virtual network do have to have an affinity for each other, and they have to be in the same physical location because they're going to be talking to the same pieces of hardware to do for routing and things.
So not only in the same region mm-hmm. or data center, but also close to each other within the data center.
Right, and something to note also about this is that the region and the affinity group you choose, they're kind of bound together. And you can't break them up. Like, once you create this and you create your virtual network, you can't say, oh, suddenly, oh, I'd like to go with a different affinity group, because the affinity group actually clicks in with a physical location. And you can't be like, oh, I'd like my virtual network to, you know, suddenly move country or something. That wouldn't work out so well.
So you have to make another virtual network then?
You'd have to make another virtual network and go with that. But yeah, just know that whatever you're deciding to put things in, like you want those resources to be near those people, it's going to be in the region that you've selected for your virtual network. So I'm selecting East US. I've got my DNS service. I already created them before, as we knew in the other thing. But if I wanted to do, I could just do like DNS3. And it would go ahead and add, you know, whatever I'd like to in there. So I'm not going to, but I could, you know, add an IP address. I'm not going to. I'm just going to select DNS1. And I will select DNS2. They're already out there. What I'm going to bypass right now, and you notice at the bottom down here, it does kind of tell you what page you're on. And this becomes,
that's what it is.
Yeah, it just kind of progresses. It's like a little, you know, time chart or whatever. I think this becomes critical when we start getting into some of the other connections, because the pages don't really make it apparent exactly where you are in the process. Also, I'm not going to go ahead and do either point-to-site or site-to-site connectivity, because we'll do that in a later module. But what I do want to call your attention to is, again, we have something in preview. It's called Point to Site. If you want to use it, fantastic. But just realize it is one of those neat features that are in preview at the moment. Our virtual network address space. So this is the address space that you want to have those DIPs go to your customers or your client machines. So all those virtual machines that you're going to put in this virtual network are going to get their IP addresses from this range that you've created. And when you create a virtual machine, you do specify, of course, if you want to, the virtual network, but you can also specify which subnet within that virtual network that you'd like to go ahead and have that virtual machine mm-hmm. put in. At the moment, we don't really have a lot within Azure going on with the subnets. We're not like doing a lot of monitoring. You know, like there's nothing that we're doing with our subnets in Azure that would make you want to create subnets, because we're not filtering anything based on them or ACLing based on them.
No, but it does give you control over which ranges you want to use, right?
Exactly.
If maybe you have a particular preference for recognizable IP addresses or something like that.
Absolutely, and also something to keep in mind is your virtual network address space. Later down the road, if you are, maybe even today, if you wanted to create a virtual network gateway and you want to connect into, you know, create a cross-premises connection, these address spaces really kind of need to not overlap with what you've got going on your local network.
So then it's very relevant to plan
that.
It is,
right. And so like in like a test world, you would just do whatever you wanted to, right? But in a real world, you may only have a certain range maybe that's available to you to use for this. And so you would put in that particular range.
And those subnets.
And those subnets, and that's what you have. Maybe you have a little tiny range. Whatever it is that you're, you know, going to use for it. So today we're going to use 10.4, I think. It's very easy. Oops, not letting... I'll show you how easy it is. Oh, whoa, that's not bad. That's not good. We're going to go back to this.
Oh.
Because I clicked something I should not have. And we will pretend like I didn't create anything at all.
So escape works.
That's good. Escape works remarkably well. We're just driving the point home. Your new affinity group. No, I don't really need to name it affinity because I know it's an affinity group. It'll show up as an affinity group, but I'm just putting it in.
Makes it readable.
Makes it readable. We know what's in there. All these little helpful hints that they give us to what to create, what not to create. Okay.
Dennis?
Clicking next. Yes, address space. Got 10.0. Let me do it. Into that 4. Kind of created a weird one there, didn't I?
So it looks like those are only the public ranges, right? You cannot do like
these are
23, whatever.
These are private.
Private, I'm using the wrong word. Private, that's what I meant.
Yeah, these are the private ranges. So I'm just kind of making private. Actually, I just wanted to do a 10.4 series, but it's not being friendly to me. Sorry, having a bit of a problem with this keyboard.
10.4.3.0.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for. That was my goal there, was 10.4.3.0. And I'll just change that to 10.4.4.0.0. 10.4.4. Wow. What did I do? That's not good. Well, we'll just do something else. Anyway. I wonder why it's not cooperating with me today. 10.4.
So you're specifying an address space, and then within the address space you specify IP addresses, right?
Yeah. But for whatever reason, it's just being a little finicky.
And can a subnet be exactly the same as the address space? It can this be the entire address space?
Yeah, it can.
Oh, right, but you're doing a subset.
Yeah,
it's just
being very odd to me today. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with it. Well, that's my demo, I think. Here we go. We're just going to create an address space, and 10.4.0.0 will be our address space, and we'll just go on with life.
But those were the subnet ranges that if you are connected to your office, you would
I would want to use
specific
those.
Set.
Exactly. Yeah. It does take a minute to create that. Let me show you a couple things. The DNS servers, again, are where the DNS servers are. Mm-hmm. We left them. Got a local network. It's taking just a minute for it to create.
That's fast.
I don't know if it's quite there yet, but it's still creating. Yep. Got an ID.
Okay.
Got the affinity group. No, it's not there yet. Won't let me really configure it. Here's where I would do additional configurations so I can mess around with the IP address space. I can change these around down here too if I wanted to, even if something was deployed to it, as long as it doesn't mess around with anything that was deployed. Like if I change the address space and make it smaller and then I've got something that's out there that's been deployed.
Oh yeah, that doesn't work.
That won't work so well. So here's our address space. We can add address space to it. Whatever you need to do with this, you can. What you can't do is kill the original one, really.
Yeah, it doesn't. It might be in use already.
It doesn't care for that. And that is our virtual network. It was actually pretty quick and easy to create, but this is what happens then when you go ahead and create then your new virtual machine. There's a compute, virtual machine. QuickRate doesn't give it to me from the gallery, does. I guess I have to go through the motions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pretty one.
Take the colorful windows.
Yep. Test 3. That's my username. I'm not going to really create it. Didn't like that other password, did it? I used one of the passwords you're not supposed to use.
The simple one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave him a call to put it on the blacklist, so.
Okay, I made one that I can use. That's awesome. And down here I've got your virtual network for my affinity group, and I've got the virtual network that I can select and put the VM in. I'm not going to do it, but I could, so.
And then the virtual machine will get an IP address from and the DNS entries
right.
from that particular VNet.
Exactly. Now look what I did here. I went ahead and chose a cloud service that wasn't part of it, and it switched everything all around, and it just won't let me do anything. I can't choose a virtual network.
Oh, because that's an existing cloud service.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we had the question.
Has to be a new
yeah,
one.
We had a question earlier that yeah. can you just add it to a cloud service? And the thing is, no, you can't do that. So that's,
makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. So that answers that, right? And then what I typically do at this point is I could go ahead and export this. My subscription name is Free Trial. I'll save it on my desktop. Let's see, I can go ahead and grab it a bit later. Network config. I'm going to back to this. So later we'll go ahead and compare them that network configuration file with one that we'll create a little bit later.
Ah yes, so it's just an XML file, I think you said.
It's
right?
just an XML file, and what we'll do is we'll show what it looks like before and after we create some more infrastructure to it. But creating the virtual network is pretty easy, and it does just allow everything within it to communicate.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Huh. No, it's not tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be a networking genius to do it. You have to be able to put the numbers in right, but that's about
yeah.
it, right? So what you can do after you have your virtual network is you can extend your infrastructure if you'd like to have your Azure data center connect to your on-premises environment. There are a couple different ways you can do it. You can use a site-to-site VPN or point-to-site VPN. I don't know if anyone's used the old connect way we used to do things, but it was like an agent, and then you have the agent, and then connected to the agent to the VPN. Point-to-site took the place of that, so you're not dealing with agents anymore. You're actually dealing with a VPN client that's native to your Windows box, so you don't have to worry about doing too much with that. You do get a client configuration file, but that's about it, and a certificate to create that secure
connection.
I
remember from, it must be a long time ago, that only a limited number of routers or physical routers
right.
that doesn't exist anymore.
I haven't heard of that, so I guess it hasn't existed because
right,
no one's
okay,
said,
so
hey, put a warning up that it's got
so you can
thing.
Just use a normal VPN client can create a VPN connection.
Right, and the nice thing about the point-to-site one is that you don't need to have a router or RRAS running on something and have a physical router with the IP version 4 endpoint behind that. It's kind of good if you're just administering and kind of jumping up there to do a few things. It's not really what you would use for an enterprise solution to get to your virtual machines in the virtual network. It's not like you're...
No, then you would do a VPN.
Yeah, you would do a site-to-site.
Site-to-site, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it will get you where you need to go. And the nice thing is it will go through those firewalls and proxies and things that point-to-site will.
Yeah.
So it's just a nice thing to have. One of the things about it is that it does require a specific type of dynamic gateway, which you can create. And so when we do our next demo, we will create that kind of gateway.
Ah.
And that gateway is kind of cool because it will allow then site-to-site connectivity. So if you want that, like, real VPN connection, always there, always on, you can have that in conjunction with a point-to-site. So maybe you're out and about and you want to connect in and, you know, do a few things because you just love to work on your servers when you're at your coffee shop, and you can do that.
Oh.
Yeah, at one of your 13 cloud coffee shops.
Yeah, and then connect. Yeah.
Exactly.
Probably will.
So again, points to make on this are site-to-site connectivity, or site-to-site connections are always connected. So you do have to have a piece of hardware that is something that has been probably tested. We have a whole list of hardware. It's out on the documentation pages for virtual networking. You can get through it to it through WindowsAzure.com, and they'll have like a documentation page. And if you dig through and go to the documentation, you can get like a huge list of all these VPN devices that are compatible. And you can see if yours might be on that list. However, if yours isn't on the list, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It just means that we don't know it's compatible and we've not added it to the list. And the ones that are on the list also have some like kind of helpful templates. They're not really scripts, but they're kind of things that will get you started with configuring your VPN device. It's not an easy thing sometimes to configure a VPN device, and so a lot of people like to hand that off to a network administrator. It's not something that we expect everyone knows how to do. So this
just to set up the VPN.
Yeah. This is more of an enterprise solution, so you kind of think about, well, if you have an enterprise, you have a large corporation, someone's probably figured out the network schema of everything. They know which IP addresses are going where, which the routers are, what's happening
yeah, exactly.
with all that. So this is one more piece of equipment that they would obviously want to know is out there, because you're putting a connection from your on-premises environment to the cloud. That's something that people probably should know about in a corporation, so they usually have somebody
control
else.
That pretty strictly.
They usually do that, and the VPN device again needs that IP version 4 without the NAT in front of it,
yeah, yeah.
and that's where people get into trouble, because we have so much network address translation going on, and they got the router behind something and something, and you get too many layers of translation in there, and we don't know how to get to you. We can't create that. So anyway, something to know about site to site. Point to site, again, doesn't require the VPN device, and that's why it's pretty attractive to people that are just kind of testing out what VPN is about, seeing if they can get to what they need to get to. It's great for test. And the connection is actually configured on your client. So like, I have one on my laptop computer so that I can get to my VPN if I want to. Not that I need to do that all the time, but I was, you know, you just play around and click on it and it connects. So
who gives you the IP address then? You create a connection to Azure so you get an IP address from Azure?
Kind of like on the site-to-site side, obviously the VPN device itself, you get that IP address from your carrier because it's an external public IP address.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that has to be a real one. Like, mm-hmm. But the one in Azure is an internal more one, and so what happens is it will give you the IP address. It presents it to you on the dashboard once you kick off the configuration for the gateway, mm-hmm. and then you then take that information and a key, and you use that to configure the secure connectivity on the VPN device that you have on site.
Oh, that's how you know the configuration.
And so you make this, yeah, you make this connection. So, yeah, you have to have both sides of it. And it's, I wouldn't say it's uncomplicated, because it should be complicated. It should be something mm-hmm. that you think about, you really want to do. But it's not so complicated that you need to go to a class for it or, you know, something
right,
like that,
yeah.
right? So you're not going to accidentally configure one.
Might go to a Microsoft Virtual Academy session too.
But I mean, there's no chance of you like punching a hole through and having this connection
that
I didn't know I created it. How come it didn't warn me? It's definitely something that you decide to do.
You need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have some configuration considerations when you do get into site-to-site or point-to-site, anything cross-premises. And again, that's the local networks. That specifies, again, which traffic is going across the VPN to your location.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've got lots and lots of subnets on your local site because they've carved out this little range for you to use, and you've got like just tons of subnets because they can't just do like this huge 10-dot series on the local network on your local site on your premises and say, oh yeah, go ahead and just pick a range from there, because that would be within one of their mm-hmm. ranges, and the routing would be very strange. You're kind of left with listing each. They have to break it down into smaller ranges, and you get to have one of them. But each one of those ranges has to be listed in your local networks list, each range that you would like to go through. Granted, you probably aren't going to have every single range if you have a large enterprise, every single range go through the local network, because really, who needs to communicate to everything up there? If you decide they do, you need to do it. If you decide they don't, then you don't need to do that.
Because otherwise it goes out to the internet site, right? To the load balancer.
Interestingly, if it's an internal IP address, it doesn't go through the load balancer at all, because it's not routable. So the load balancer is like, oh, I'm sorry, you're a 192, see ya, right? Nothing happens. So there's not any like worry about that traffic going somewhere else.
Right,
it just
right.
dumps it. So we have no problem with dumping the traffic on that, right? Again, no IP address overlaps with those ranges. In a perfect world for Azure, nobody has a local network and then they suddenly create one, but that's not really how it works
in real life.
So, yeah. And again, you can specify those non-internal IP ranges just as long as whatever's receiving it on your VPN side for your device and the routing mm-hmm. Knows what to do with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Your DNS server, again, you cannot use Windows Azure internal DNS for name resolution, because the things on your local site won't know what's going on in Azure. And we've had, it doesn't make you put a DNS server in there. Like, you could just remove that if you wanted to for your network configuration file and upload it without DNS servers specified. And you get into this really strange situation or maybe you connect point to site using this VPN client, and you grab this IP address from this range that's known to virtual network, but it kind of freaks out because the VPN client also has a DNS server that it knows about
on its site
because it's, you know, it's talking to everything over here, and then it's like, oh wait a minute, it's going to talk to its DNS server because we don't hand it one because we don't have one to hand it really way, and things get a little bit strange, so it's a big deal. And then site to site, of course, you'd have to have a DNS server because you want to register those SRV records properly. Again, region and affinity group, you want to think about where you want your resources to actually reside. It's not just like a random name. It's who's going to live there. And again, the VPN devices, you have to check those for configuration.
So there's one question on the chat.
Okay.
And for you.
Oh, yes,
it says,
it is.
Can we create a dedicated private network connection from our premise location to Azure, and is that in fact what site-to-site is?
That actually is what site-to-site is. It's a dedicated, secure, private connection. Yeah, definitely that's what it is. The thing I should mention is you can only create one. So when you have a virtual network, you only get one connection to whatever location you want it to be at.
Per cloud service.
Per virtual network.
Per virtual network.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So you can't have like two or three gateways sitting on your virtual network connecting out to like your three branch offices out there and your corporation or whatever you've got going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You just get one. So I do get questions about people wanting to use Azure to traverse that traffic through. So they want to kind of like hop to Azure, hop out of Azure, go to this thing. And that's just not something that we can do right now. We just have that one connection. Also, you can't have two devices. So you don't get two gateways. Now, something that I should mention about the virtual network gateway, we aren't quite there yet, but it does have some fault tolerance to it. So you don't really have the position where, oh my gosh, what if the gateway goes down on our side? But on your side, cross-premises side, the corporation side, will say, they have two devices, but we can only use one IP address to create that connection. So they may have to do something interesting on their side to make sure that they have some redundancy on that. So it does get kind of creative and interesting.
And I thought there was another question, but I think this is just a message we can tell people. Oh, that's actually, let me tell it, because that's important.
Oh, it is,
That only five modules were posted this morning, but we actually have a sixth session. So after your session, we just continue with actually PowerShell and Hyper-V, so exciting stuff.
That's forward to seeing this PowerShell Hyper-V stuff. Yeah, this is very exciting to me.
I'm happy to give this message out.
Yeah, I know you are. This is your thing, right? Hyper-V, yay, MVP. So we have the two types of gateways. There's a static and a dynamic routing gateway. I've got a couple features listed with this. One of the deciding factors is what device do you have, really, because the devices are going to either do static or dynamic or both, so you kind of want to look at your device and see what it's capable of. Again, we have some documentation for certain devices anyway that tell you, but I also have it listed out what the requirements are for each device to do each thing. Dynamic routing itself is a preview feature. It's a little more straightforward on the routing side, but it is still preview, so that's just something important to note. And if you wanted to use site-to-site, you can use, like, you know, static routing or dynamic routing gateway, either one. And it's something that you select when you create a gateway, and we'll do that in the demo. But if you want to use point-to-site or point-to-site and site-to-site together, you've got to select that dynamic routing. Also, some devices only do dynamic routing. So if you wanted to use maybe ARAS as your as your VPN device, and you do have that external IPv4 IP address for us, then you can do so, but just realize that it is a dynamic feature, meaning that that is in preview. So your connection, the ARAS is fine, Azure is fine, dynamics in preview. So if you're creating this architecture, just know that you're in for maybe some changes, maybe not. I don't know.
And point to site was preview as well, right?
Point to site is preview, and I'm not sure, frankly, if point-to-site is preview because it relies on dynamic or if point-to-site is changing.
Oh, yes.
Because it's, that
part of it is still in preview.
Yeah, that I don't know. So I'm just wondering, if we go to, you know, to GA with that, if that just, dynamically switches over. But
yeah, that's nice choice
of words. exactly. So with that, we'll go to the demo and we'll look at adding site-to-site to an existing VNet. So we'll go back to our virtual network. And I want to take a look at local networks real quick, because I want to call your attention to the fact that, well, we don't have any. And the reason I want to show you this is because this is where people get really thrown off. This just can go away. Can get really thrown off. And that's when you've got these virtual networks and you want to create something and configure your virtual network as we went to before. You'll note that you don't have the option to connect to a site-to-site at all. It's just not there. And this is frankly confusing because it's not there. And the way you get it to be there is you go back to your local networks and you go ahead and specify a local network, and that's how you'll do it. So.
Oh, otherwise you cannot create the site-to-site network.
Yeah, exactly. And with this, interestingly, this is a VPN device IP address. Now for today, I'm making this up. So I'm going to go ahead and give it my corp headquarters, I think. So I've done that, and I'm this is an external IP address, but it's not really. I'm just throwing this in here. In real life, this should be something real.
Yeah, the device at the corporate headquarters location,
right? Yeah, exactly, right, yeah. But for today, don't be trying that because it doesn't work. What I'm doing here is I'm specifying the address range, and this is where you specify every single IP address range that you want put that through that VNet.
Yeah.
And this is, you can create, again, you can create multiple local networks. And then what happens is when you choose your site to site, you can select which local network is the one that you're pointing to. So this is subscription level stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is not VNet level stuff. So.
And then multiple VNets make use of the same list of local networks.
They could, yeah. But they definitely could. It wouldn't be right because they wouldn't be able to both connect to the same VPN device unless you did something cool, but you totally could do that.
But this is in line with what you said earlier, that the configuration file was also a subscription level configuration file, right?
I'll show you in this. You know what I'm going to do? I'll export it and then we can see both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So we'll do that. You notice there's no save on that one. Some of them have save, some of them don't have save. So just kind of keep an eye out for either checkboxes or saves or something in there.
They expect you to do it well.
They expect you to just really enjoy your experience, to kind of go through and meander. No, I'm not sure, but...
Oh, and now there's site-to-site, I see.
Yes, so we've got site-to-site. I'm going to tell it to connect to the local network, and I only created one network. If I had like four, I could choose which one I wanted to do in there. And for the heck of it, I am going to configure point-to-site, and the reason I'm doing that is because there's a dynamic gateway that we're going to create, and it takes 15 minutes pretty much to create.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to just kind of do a two-for-one. I'm going to just grab whatever address space it gives me. Part of the point-to-site connectivity is that you are going to hand out an address space to the clients that connect to it.
Yes.
And so this will be the address space that they will have their connection to. This address space does not have to be the same as your virtual network address space, even though it is part of the virtual network configuration.
No, you just specify where they supposed to go.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, it just knows. And then I'm going to go ahead and save this. And this will update soon, and we'll have connectivity.
So you say it takes 15 minutes, but that's just more because it goes through the networking part or something like that, right?
Right, but this part's quick. This is the fast part because there's more. So I want to show you that your gateway that you've sort of kind of specified isn't really created. You don't have a gateway yet. You've got nothing. You've just got like the intent to possibly create a gateway someday.
Yeah.
And so you're not getting really... any configuration at all at this point. So what you want to do maybe is create a gateway, and that would be part of the next step.
Yeah.
So do I want to create a gateway for my virtual network? Yes, I do.
I like how the graphic kind of indicates that there's no connection yet. That's very clear.
There's no connection yet. And you know, we can sit and stare at this for 15 minutes, but I think that would be really boring. So what I want to show you instead is that you can deal with virtual network devices through this dashboard, because your next step is going to be to go ahead and configure your VPN device.
Mm-hmm. On the headquarters site.
On the headquarters site. And so you've got this script, and it's not really a script, it's a template. And the templates are getting improved all the time, and we kind of have a nice close relationship with some of the vendors anyway, and they give mm-hmm. us some great information and some good troubleshooting information as well, and mm-hmm. what parameters to set on the routers and things like that. This is just going to be the basic information for each vendor. I have this documentation also on the Windows Azure site on MSDN, and it's a little different with this because this will fill in a few parameters that doesn't fill in.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would, if you're going to look at like documentation side, use that as like, oh, isn't that nice? Look, it's mm-hmm. there. This is really where you want to grab the template from.
Yeah.
And so this is the place. And so we can select, again, whichever template, which vendor you want, which template goes with each vendor, what version. Some of them have more than one version.
Yeah.
And then we can download it. So. Save it on the desktop. Anyway, that's just a script that you could use to do the configuration. And while we're waiting for this to configure, let's kind of pop over and look at some of the point-to-site information. So I'm going to go over and change to my desktop. So adding point-to-site to VNet. Now, in the wizard, you can go ahead and connect both of these at the same time, and you don't have the confusion over, oh, what's going on with my local networks, you know, because it's right there for you. It's not maybe as full-featured, as rich as you might like it at that point, because you can add these configurations more later.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go through the wizard, it's a lot easier to check, as you guys saw at the beginning where we just checked. This one, I kind of just wanted to show you that when you go onto that configuration page, you can add things later, and sometimes they appear and sometimes they don't. Fortunately, point-to-site always appears, so you don't have to go hunting for a local site or any of that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So you can configure it in the management console. You have to create, again, the dynamic gateway. We did create a dynamic gateway this time. So sometimes when you do site-to-site, it says what kind of gateway do you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
But when you create point-to-site, you have to have a dynamic gateway, so you can't screw it up.
Yes.
Yeah. It used to be like you had to select it, and they were like, you can't work. It doesn't work for you. And now it's
fine. Wrong answer.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. You know. It is just like slapped you. Says no. But this one allows you to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more. Point to site also deals with these make certs. So what you end up having to do on the client side, well, for the client anyway, is create a certificate, and you also have to have a certificate on the management portal. And this is what's going to create your a secure connection between the client and the server. This has nothing to do with your VPN device. Like, you could have no VPN device, we don't care. But this is how you're going to create your certificate connection. And I think the confusing part for people on this one is that they have to use a self-signed root certificate, but they can't use a CA. And so no certificate authority, none of that. You can't use your enterprise CA sort of environment.
Oh, so somebody actually must create the certificate for them.
Somebody must create the certificate for you. Can make it yourself. I mean, if you can just sit down and you can go ahead and kick out make cert. Make cert is interesting. I used SQL. What did I use? I used Express. Visual Studio Express.
It's not part of Windows. It's part of Visual Studio then, make cert, right?
I grabbed Visual Studio 2013, the Express version of it. It's free. And I loaded it, and then there's a little folder, and you can kind of click on a command prompt, and you just type make cert in, and there's a bunch of parameters. I've put the parameters in the slide deck, and I've also have them on our documentation site as well.
Yes.
And it's not that complicated. You just end up making a certificate, and then there are two files that you end up when you write make cert. It's just make cert, blah, 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 the name of the certificate, and it comes out with a root certificate. And one of those root certificates, well, the root certificate goes into your personal store in your certificates, and then you get like a little copy of it, like a little gratuitous copy if you want
mm-hmm.
to. You can throw it wherever you want to, a desktop. I throw it on C because it's just easy to find there. And that's a .cer file, and that's going to be the file that you'll end up uploading to the management portal. So it's going to look for that .cer. If you try to export or try to pull in on the management portal, the real certificate, like with a private key, it doesn't know what to do with that. It won't deal with any of those private keys, no PFX, none of that kind of stuff. It's that's CER or nothing. And I think that that does get funny, and people are like, hey, how come I can't get my key to work? I'm like, oh, you're giving us way too much information, and we don't want that information.
So it's just the certificate without the private key.
Yes, it's just the certificate, right, because it's your root certificate. You're like, here's my private key. I mean, that's, even if it's your own, it's a little iffy, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens then, because there's more, is on the client side, you've got to have a certificate that's been generated by that self-side root certificate. Again, make cert is something that you mm-hmm. would use to do it. I've put the parameters on this, I've put the parameters, you know, on the net. It's it sounds more complicated than it is, but it's just like make a cert, and then all of a sudden, boop, you have a, like a client cert, and you can create numerous client certs that way. You export them, you give them to someone, they double click on them, they import them basically into
So a system administrator can just create them for mm-hmm. others.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't even need, I mean, it could be the person that's doing this configuration says, oh yeah, I'll make it, yeah, sure, you want to get it. I mean, it depends on how secure your environment is, mm-hmm. and if this is just your little test environment, or if this is like a big deal, then there should probably be some sort of you know, written document that tells
how
and prescribes,
to handle it.
A security document that does these mm-hmm. kind of things. But for generating them and actually putting them on clients, it's very easy. It's just the brain work that's involved to figure out who you want to distribute these things
well,
to.
Well, certificates are can be complicated.
They can be. These certificates are really easy.
That's self-signed, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of point. It's like it's deceptively easy because you're giving someone like the keys to get in kind of idea, and you may want to think about that. So anyway, generate client cert, and then you install it on the client. So every single client that you want for Point2Site has to have the mm-hmm. cert that's been mm-hmm. generated and installed. Then you get to download the package from the portal. And that's basically a configuration package. It's not going to download a VPN client, per se. It's going to download the configuration for the VPN client that already exists on your Windows computer. And it depends on which VPN client you have or what OS you're running. So if you're running, like, Windows 7, your VPN client, you know, behaves a little differently than Windows 8 and 8.1. And I'm kind of referring to, some people have asked, well, can I have my client reconnect? It depends on which client you're using and whether that client is capable of doing it. We don't keep you from doing it because it's client-side initiation.
Yeah.
So it's just something to think about how each client behaves differently, because mm-hmm. you might see things on the internet or whatever going, oh yeah, I can reconnect it all the time. You're like, mine has no reconnect. Well, that's because your client doesn't. So just stuff to kind of know.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah. I do have one other question about this. You mentioned earlier that in response to a question from the chat, I think, mm-hmm. that you can only have a single site-to-site connection.
You can.
But you can have multiple of those point-to-sites then, right? Or
well, yeah. You can have like 20 clients. How many IP addresses you put in that little range that hands it out, you can have those many clients connecting, and they have to initiate it. So it's kind of like VPNing into work, maybe, that kind of idea. And so you're just double-clicking as the user, and it's creating this VPN connection that you may not think about all that much, except mm-hmm. for you getting to the thing that you need to. So yeah, you could have a lot of people connected at the same time, provided that you have the IP addresses.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do hand down with that VPN connection, that point-to-site, is, again, the DNS server information, so you'll be able to get to the things on there, unless you really like using IP address.
No, I understand. All the time, right? Yeah.
So we'll kind of show you what it looks like without the root cert, and then with the root cert. So it looks a little bit different. The connection that you're seeing at the bottom for that clients, or actually the top without root cert, but the thing that says clients, that's your VPN that's going to be point to site. The top one was that your corp HQ that I created for site to site. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of always see in the dashboard what you've got going on with your VNet. And then when you've applied your root cert, you'll get this like yellow connection. Nobody's connected to it yet. And your corp HQ will stay disconnected until, you know, like me, you go ahead and create a real connection with a real IP address and a real device, which I don't have. But
oh, yeah. Well, yellow is better than red in this case, right?
Because yellow is way better than red. Yes, we're just moving forward with yellow and red. So creating these certificates, you use make cert. I kind of put it on there. It's kind of ugly looking, but you know, if you want to look at the slides later, you definitely can see what's going on with that. And I know, it's just fairly straightforward.
And so normally with certificates for, let's say, a website, mm-hmm. you need to match a name. But here you can just do any name, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, you can make up your own name for your root cert, but then when you create your client using Make Cert, you've got to go ahead and specify the root cert. So, like, I've got, like, my root cert name on there for the Make Cert. Let's see, can I?
Yeah, but it doesn't reference. Reference like a Super Coffee or any existing.
No, I just made it up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then when I create my clients, this is the name of the client certificate I created, and that's what's going to show up in the certificate store. And this is the root cert that I'm creating it from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still going to match, you know, so yes. You can't get like totally made up on it. You can just get mm-hmm. a little bit made up name on it.
No, that's good enough.
Yeah, so I think that mm-hmm. that kind of helps a bit.
Yes.
And I think that's about it for this. Let's go back and take a look at the desktop and see what we've got going on there. Okay, so we're still in this kind of funny space with we've got, as expected, your corp and the client, and nobody's connected.
This was only 12 minutes. So.
I know, right? And it's still working.
It's still working, indeed.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's just going to be that. Let's see if I can export at least this network configuration again. Let's just call it after.
Oh, yeah, cool. Both of them on the desktop now?
Yeah, I wonder mm-hmm. if it'll just open right. Okay, so we've got our after configuration.
And oh, yeah, Corp HQ.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then here are our DNS servers up in here. I think that's big enough to see anyway. So there are mm-hmm. DNS servers, and this is where you would specify the DNS server. So if you wanted to specify a new DNS server, whatever you want to specify, this is where you tell it the IP address and the name. And I just made up the names. These are not actually the names of the DNS server. So
right. You
can, you know, it's just telling Azure what it is. Azure's more interested in the IP address. Oh, look at that. I've got two DNS servers with exactly the same number, too. That was brilliant. So I've specified two. See, it just doesn't care. But that's a good demo right there, isn't it? It takes whatever you have. And that's at the subscription level. And then when I get down to the level of the virtual network later, then we're going to go ahead and specify what that DNS server is, which is down here.
Yeah, you
so I've referenced
them, yeah.
it, right, and I can't reference anything that's not been referred to up there. If we want to take a look down here, our VPN client address pool, this is the address pool that we have for those, you know, those clients that are going to mm-hmm. be connecting in. This is my local network. And this is all just a big file, right? I mean, I've got my gateway subnet. I put the information in there. I've got the subnets I want to have. I can go in and change any of this stuff as long as it falls within the parameters that it will accept back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fine. Now, if I start going in here and changing, like, my virtual network site name and pointing it somewhere else, it will not accept that information and will freak out.
Yeah, so like the affinity group must exist. And
yeah. And then I also had the question, what if two people are working at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and both of them,
it's the last write, just like most
things.
Oh,
just overwrite?
Yeah, whoever last one's in, unless you really screw it up, and then it's just have a nice day, and gosh, I hope this configuration file goes in. So you can upload the configuration. So say I change it. I'm not going to, but, you know, okay, I will. I'm not going to upload it right now because I'll break too much stuff as mm-hmm. we're in process. But if I wanted to do that and I could save this file, I could take that file then, go up through this services, virtual network, import configuration, and I can import
that network. Oh, that is the XML file, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where it takes that information in. So, okay, I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint. Go. I've lost my PowerPoint. There we are. Okay. I want to talk a bit about this client VPN package install. This is the part that people forget that they're supposed to do because they go through and they create the gateway and they create everything and it's all, you know, going great. and then they can't get out to their client. So you download this install package from the virtual network dashboard. It's just a plain old package, very much in the same, well, we can't see it now because it's not there yet, but mm-hmm. when it's there, it'll be in the same spot that you find all the other packages as far as like your VPN device package
and stuff.
And you would just download it and download it again for the appropriate client. And this is going to be specific configuration for your client within that VNet. It's not a subscription level, it's just for that VNet. And then once it's installed, and you have your certificate already installed on your client, you just select it from the networks as if you would select any other
network. Just a VPN connection?
Yeah, just a VPN connection, and mine was your virtual network because that's what I named my virtual network. If I named it something else, I would have a different name for the virtual network. So, yeah, and let's take a look back and see if we can see if it's there yet. And it's still configuring, so I don't think we should wait around and watch this thing configure. It's like watching paint dry, right? So
I believe you.
You believe me, right? Okay. Certificates, if I wanted to and I had a make cert certificate, mm-hmm. I would upload it right here.
Yeah.
And then uploading that certificate then changes the status on the other side that there's a certificate been uploaded.
Yes. Yes.
And then you can go ahead and finish up the rest of your configuration. And with that, we're pretty much done with this particular segment. We've talked about creating a virtual network. We've talked about creating site-to-site virtual networks, point-to-site virtual networks, all kinds of sites and all kinds of virtual networks. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So with that, I think we'll just take a 10-minute break.
Okay, great.
Okay.